This is News Director Larissa Donovan joining me in studio today as November is Native American History Month. Joining me in studio today, Rebecca Findeay from Sanford Health. Welcome to the studios.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So November is Native American History Month, and I think maybe some of the first questions my listeners might have is like, what is the correct term? Because, you know, we hear a lot of things, Native American, American Indian, Indigenous person, kind of used interchangeably, but what is the more correct answer?
That actually would be up to the individual who you're asking. The term Indian is usually not utilized so much anymore, except maybe more in legal terms or federal terminology, because that's where it first originated.
Right. That's where I see it a lot, like Indian country justice from the Department of Justice.
Right. So the terms Native American and American Indian can be used interchangeably. And again, it's up to the individual. Some people don't like American Indian because this wasn't America when I was here, or they do like American Indian because we were here first, and then it became American, so I was here even before it was American. So it kind of depends on the individual. They can be used interchangeably, but it's always best to ask the person themselves what they prefer. And then also, the individual may prefer to refer to themselves as what tribe they're from or how they call themselves in their own indigenous language. Perhaps I would say, I'm Rebecca Findeay. I'm from the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe. I'm Anishinaabe. Well, Anishinaabe in Ojibwe Mu'in, the Ojibwe language, would prefer something along the lines saying that I am the original person, the original people here. So I'm using Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe, and Ojibwe and Anishinaabe are also used interchangeably of who somebody is or where they're from.
All right. So doesn't hurt to ask.
Always most respectful, and the best practice is to ask the individual. Yes.
So you've been with Sanford Health for how long now as an RN?
Not very long.
Okay.
May 31st, very end of the month. I joined Sanford team in a non-clinical position, actually. I'm currently the Native American Community Advocate, which is a new position for Sanford and a new position for myself. In the past, Sanford has had a good long year's history of having Native American patient advocates, which helped pave the way for my current position. And I still believe maybe we need a little bit more another patient advocate, because the Native American patient advocate specifically worked with all patients all the time. That was their entire job. My job is a little bit different. I do get some patient contact, but it's just not always and constant. The community advocate is more going out to see and build relationships with the surrounding Native American community resources, and also in the three surrounding reservations that we have, Red Lake Nation, White Earth Nation, and Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe. So I'm working on going out to these areas, meeting with people, IHS facilities, the tribal health divisions, and tribal leadership, to just let them know the things I'm learning about in Sanford. Unfortunately, there's been a history of some strained relationships between Native American communities and Sanford in general. So the things I'm learning about Sanford, the strides they have taken to improve relationships, improve care, improve their cultural competencies, their cultural awareness, the training they're giving to staff. I mean, they're doing some pretty incredible things in these last few years, and it takes some time and it takes a little bit of steps, but they're making really good strides as they realize, you know, they have a high patient census is Native American. I ran some numbers on, I think it was just November 1st, and it was 40% of the patient population between the emergency department and patients who were admitted were Native Americans. And I think Sanford realizes, hey, we need to do better by this. We need to learn more. And so they're taking a lot of good steps and a lot of good initiatives to try to improve the quality of care, improve the understanding of the patient census who they're taking care of. So this job, I get to do that. I get to go out and, well, first find out what Sanford is doing, kind of help them build on it, like Native American Heritage Month, which I'll get into in a moment, the things that we're able to do within Sanford and have the Sanford support for doing this. So I get to go out in the communities, build relationships, try to mend maybe relationships, and just let the community know that Sanford isn't here to take over, but that Sanford knows that we need to build these relationships and work together. Sanford understands there's a lot of things that Sanford doesn't know, and they want to know. Well, how are we going to know? We have to be able to be taught. We want to learn. We have to be teachable. We want to go out to the communities and ask the communities for help. Help teach us. Help us learn. Help tell us what you want from us. How can we help? We just want to augment. We want to help. We want to be better. But we can't do that without knowledge. And that's what Sanford is looking for. We want your help. How can we do this?
Well, it's encouraging to hear those sort of strides are being made here locally, because we hear across the nation the disparities of healthcare between, as someone who is a mother who's, you know, experienced the whole maternity cycle, you know, especially when it comes to maternity care. A lot of disparities with high mortality rates for women of color versus white women. And as an Anishinaabe woman, I would like to hear your insight about, like, what sort of disparities have you seen historically in our community, and what do you see any shifts in a positive direction?
So my background is, after I spent 8 years in the military in aviation management, I got my bachelor's of science in nursing degree. So I spent the last 13 years working as a RN in various positions in Cass Lake IHS and Red Lake IHS. So the only actual, like, clinical nursing background, hospital experience I know is within the Indian Health Service System. And one thing to make very clear to the public is that the Indian Health Service System is not tribal health. It is for tribal people, but it is a U.S. government funded, owned, operated, and run facility. It just happens to be on reservations because of the treaties that were made back in the reservation era, way back then. So, and then going to speaking of the reservation era, this is when I believe the health disparities really started. You know, Indigenous peoples used to have their a whole way of different lifestyle prior to this. Different activity, different style of living, different thought processes, different resources, different support systems, different way of eating. And when the colonial era came in, you know, kind of make a long story short, there was so much suppression and oppression. Suddenly we're forced on these reservations and we're kind of force fed these foods that are not natural to the way Indigenous people used to eat.
White flour, white sugar, lard.
Exactly. And what do you have with those? Fry bread, which, contrary to popular belief, even though it's a main staple now, for a lot of Native American people, it is not a traditional food. It could be considered a political food because it came from, you know, the U.S. government during these reservation eras, and this is what Indigenous people had to use. They had to make do with what they had. Pretty ingenious, as I really do like fry bread, though. But that is not healthy. That is not a healthy food for anybody, let alone an Indigenous people who were not used to these types of ingredients, and our body doesn't know how to process them. And same thing with dairy, gluten, beef, even introduction of beef. And so that just led right away to health disparities, the beginning with your health, how your body processes things. And then you go into your mental health with, we used to, you know, be able to roam around and do what you needed to do to survive. And now you're stuck on this little box of a reservation. You're just kind of stuck there. And you can't do what you used to do. And then you throw in the boarding schools where children were basically, they were kidnapped from home. Or
right.
Their families were forced or coerced to send their children. And, you know, there would be severe repercussions if you didn't send your children to these things. So then you have the separation of family.
And language and culture.
Exactly. So now you have that. You have people, kids who are dying in boarding schools. Kids who come home as an adult who did not have the nurturing or the culture or the spirituality or nutrition teachings that they used to have with their own families. And now you have this big gap, and all this leads into historical trauma, intergenerational trauma as well. And then it just kind of leads down and you have all these health disparities. You know, diabetes pre-colonial era was either never heard of or very, very sparse, very, you know, was maybe non-existent. I don't know for sure. But now we have one of the highest rates of obesity, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and sometimes even mental health rates. You know, these come down to our identities. You know, Native Americans are dual citizens of their own reservations and then of the United States, and maybe even you could say third citizen of their own state as well. So you have all these identity going on, and where do I live? What do I do? Who do I follow? All the you know, pressures and influences of today, and you see a big revitalization though of language and cultural reclamation that's going on in communities and in schools and in some systems, and that's you know, I believe that's really helping adults even to reclaim their own identity and understand who they are and where they come from. And my own dad, you know, he's from Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe. He's passed away now, but he always told us, don't forget who you are, don't forget where you come from, but you have to learn to be successful in this world as well, but don't forget your culture and don't forget your family and don't forget your history.
So what are some good things that you've been seeing as far as, you know, I think representation in healthcare is very important. What sort of encouraging things are you seeing as far as getting more people of color into the healthcare profession?
That is a very good observation. Yes, when people see people who look like them in these particular areas, they feel more comfortable. They might feel more at ease, less stressed, so maybe less white coat syndrome, so to speak, when you're getting your vital signs taken and, you know, you get high blood pressure just sitting there thinking about what's happening. I was taking care of an elder recently in Sanford. Again, I'm in a non-clinical position, but I do get to be with patients. This particular elder pointed out a staff member who came in and was doing stuff in the room, and they said that was their favorite nurse. And I was really excited here because I'm a nurse. So I'm like, oh, I want to hear what great things this person has done for you. You know, what kind of advocacy? This is great. And the elder said, she looks like me. That was the connection that this elder in the hospital had with this staff member. Were they of the same cultural background? I don't know. But the point is that this person looked like them and that made them feel comfortable. So some of the things, like having people, I know Sanford is working on having more Indigenous people in there, trying to get recruitment, getting people. We need people who meet certain requirements. So especially in healthcare, there are certain requirements that are required by law.
Right,
you know, but
like drug offenses might look kind of bad in going into nursing.
Right. However, if you have recovery and certain things, I mean, there are certain things, you know, right. We hope we can work with people on to get to that, you know. But that goes along with any person trying to get a job as well. But just trying to encourage more people of color, especially Native Americans in this particular area, because there's a high rate of Native American patients. If we could get more Native American staff, and it doesn't have to be just Native American nurses, just staff in general in any department, was when patients and even myself as an employee, when I walk around and I see somebody who might look like me too, that's encouraging to me. And I already work there, you know, and I feel pretty comfortable there. But yet for other patients, people coming in, they want to see people who look like them and they're more comfortable, more apt to open up about what's really going on, you know, in their healthcare concerns. And they're more apt to return, have, you know, show up for their appointments, for ask questions, collaborate with the medical team, which the medical team should initiate that anyways. But sometimes we tend to be a little closed off, you know, and anybody, because if you're uncomfortable, you don't feel safe, some of those things. I've been able to work with patients who do feel kind of unsafe in particular situations because of whatever's happened to them in their past. And we can try to work with them because we understand that, you know, you do need healthcare, but we do understand that things have happened in the past, and what can we do to help you work with that so you do get the healthcare that you need. One of the big things they're doing is Sanford has had the policy on smudging and other spiritual or cultural practices that patients might want to do. And we're still learning, staff is still learning that, oh yes, we can offer this, and how do we offer this, and the safety parameters we have to put in place sometimes, because with smudging, it entails burning.
Right. Smoke detectors might go a little nuts.
Right. So we have safety parameters in place for that. We just have to put that in place before a person starts smudging. I can help people smudge. Staff can help people smudge. Patients can bring their own items in to smudge as well. And a lot of patients are you know, didn't realize that was allowed in this hospital. I don't know what it is in all Sanford Enterprises, but I do know there is a policy that is a right. It is a falls under one of the kind of Religious Freedom Act, you know. Native Americans didn't have a freedom of their religion until, I don't
very
know.
Very late. Was it 90s?
I think a little bit earlier than that.
Okay.
I don't have the exact date, but I mean, it is like maybe...
It's surprisingly late. I'll just say that.
Yes. Native Americans were very suppressed from practicing a lot of their spirituality and culture. And there is a difference between cultural practice and spirituality practice.
Right.
But we were suppressed in a lot of ways for practicing both of those. And I had another an elder that I was working with, too, in the hospital. And I was just, here's what I can offer you is cultural, is spiritual support. Here's some things. And this person said, we can't smudge in here. And I said, actually, we really can. Oh, no, there's too many white people here, they said. And that really struck my heart, thinking what this elder must have gone through, you know, to feel still so oppressed that, no, there's too many white people here. There's people that don't look like me. They don't allow me to. And I didn't want to push it on them, but I just wanted to let them know that Sanford supports this. This particular hospital, this entity supports you in this, and I can help you in it. And they were still, no, maybe later. And of course, you know, we don't push anything. Just know it's available. And if you change your mind, any staff can help you set it up.
Does Sanford have any events planned for this month as part of Native American History Month?
Absolutely. We have, and one of the things that Sanford is doing to increase their awareness and education for Native Americans, they have a Care of Native American committee, which has subcommittees, and one of the subcommittees is to celebrate traditions or holidays or recognize some things that Native Americans have. And so for Native American Heritage Month this year, we have a very robust program. We had already started Tuesday, November 1st. We already had an opening ceremony in Sanford Hospital in their East Lobby. With one of our elders and spiritual advisors, George Gagalai Sr., which was very powerful, very moving. We had a lot of people involved. There was smudging and a pipe ceremony. Excuse me. On Thursday, on the 3rd, we had traditional medicine teaching, again by George Gagalai Sr. and his niece Christine. Right there in the building, they brought different medicines, sage, sweetgrass, cedar, tobacco, bear grease, some other medicines I hadn't heard about. So we got a teaching of that and how they're used, bear root, you know, and how they're used to treat pains, medical pains, anxieties, different things like that, and how these are all traditional and they're not synthetic. They're all natural medicines.
Right, and there has been some more modern study that a lot of these, you know, old-fashioned sort of remedies, you know, more earth-based remedies, actually had quite a bit of more of a punch than modern scientists thought for a while.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I remember learning is aspirin. Native Americans used to use aspirin from some kind of a tree or something.
Yeah, tree bark or something.
That was natural. Oh, well, now pharmaceutical gets a hold of it, and now they, you know,
it's
synthetic
now,
but there you go, right? And if we can go back to, like, these non-synthetic uses, you know, the traditional medicines that your body can absorb and use more naturally and doesn't have side effects, too. You know, so it was really fun learning about that. This Friday, November 11th, we're having a storytelling and Anishinaabe cultural teaching with Dr. Anton Troyer, BSU professor. And that will be in Education Rooms A and B. He'll do two sessions. November 15th, we're going to have vendors set up as if they were in a conference or a powwow. So we've invited about five, I think, vendors to set up, showcase their arts and their creations, and to sell them. And so this exposes, you know, Sanford to some other cultural items and things that they might not be exposed to previously. On the 28th, we're having a Jingle Jess presentation by Sheila Northbird. She will come with her brother, Dave Northbird, and they will do a Jingle Jess presentation, have hand drum, and a dance presentation. And I think this is really important because a Jingle Jess in Anishinaabe culture is considered a healing dress.
Mm-hmm.
So to have this knowledge and understanding and presentation of it, not just seeing it in action, maybe in powwow or a cultural education programming, to actually see, you know, learn about this in a hospital setting with, you know, a healthcare person, so I think will be really powerful and really good. And then on November 30th, we're going to have a closing ceremony with another blessing to close out the month. We've also introduced this month is several days through this month, we are having partnering with our Sanford Food Services and Indigenous chef Vincent Johnson, who's from Red Lake. He studied at Le Cordon Bleu in Minneapolis. Ooh. And he's also studied under the sous chef, Sean Sherman.
Yeah.
So his specialties are the pre-colonial era, no dairy, no gluten, no beef. So we partnered with him to offer some of these specialty items. Today, this morning, we had blue corn mush with blueberries, raspberries, maple syrup, and pumpkin seeds.
Yum.
Tuesday's breakfast will be on the 15th will be wild rice hash. November 21st for lunch and dinner, they're doing wild rice pilaf with turkey and sweet roasted carrots. And November 29th for lunch and dinner, we'll offer squash soup. So you'll see that some of these are a lot of items that might not sound familiar, but these are what was traditionally culturally appropriate at that time. This is what we had available. So if you take what I've just listed here and you think of the things like we talked about earlier with fry bread, you know, we didn't have any of that back then, and talk about health disparities, you know. So a lot of people are like, oh, it's Native American Heritage Month. We're going to have wild rice, creamy wild rice soup.
Mac soup.
Right? Well, that's a good staple for
that's
today's.
Still good. That's still good.
Yeah. You know, but Vince Johnson, he's like, I don't do fry bread. He has a catering business too. So anybody want to check out Vince Johnson, check out his Facebook. I don't know if he has a title for his company, but he does do catering. So I am just really grateful that we were able to partner with some of the community in this too, bring the community in on this to help learn and educate and be a part of this and build relationships with Sanford.
All right. Well, Rebecca, we've just about used all our time. Is there any, like, if some Sanford patients would like to get in touch with you, is there a good way to find you?
You can ask pretty much any staff or at the front desk, or if you already have a nurse assigned to you, you can ask for the Native American Community Advocate. If you don't remember my name, Rebecca, they can find me. My work phone number is 333-2106. If you want to get a hold of me that way too.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in, Rebecca Findeay, Native American Community Advocate for Sanford Health.